We're going to turn our Bibles to 2 Chronicles and chapter 33. 2 Chronicles and chapter 33. And we're going to read from the verse 1 down to the end of verse 20. So 2 Chronicles and chapter 33, we're going to begin to read at verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars from Balaam. He made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set up a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen, before all the tribes of Israel will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of a land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and ordinance by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. And after that he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gannon, and the valley even unto the entrance at the feast gate, that passed about Orphel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast him out of his city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed her on peace offering and thanks offering, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and his prayer unto his God, and the words of his seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sins and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and set up groves, and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and he buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Very well known chapter. Sure, we've read it many times. You've heard it preached upon. But great lessons can be found in this story. The story of the conversion of a man called Manasseh. We were singing that great hymn together, of course, for ourselves, that we're only a sinner saved by grace. Well, we've read about it tonight in this conversion of this man Manasseh. We're going to see more about this, of course, as we look at this together. and chapter 33 of the book of Chronicles. And really, the title of my sermon tonight is, To God Be the Glory. Because that's what we were singing about there, To God Be the Glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. We have to give God all the glory, as you'll see in a moment, for the conversion, for the salvation of Manasseh. So well, let's look to the Lord and ask for his help tonight. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us. Around thy word, may there be a sense of thy presence. May the Spirit of the living God be given to me, Lord, to preach thy word with clarity, Lord, and with power. I pray for any who's in the meeting who's not saved, that they might come to Christ tonight. That this will be the night of their salvation. We pray you continue with us tonight. Around thy word, give us grace to speak for thee. I pray in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. The necessity of being converted is found as you and I would read the Word of God together. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18 and verse 3. Remember, these are the words of the Son of God. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in Matthew 18 verse 3, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is showing us here something very, very plain. If anyone is ever to be in heaven, you must be converted. You must be converted. It's not an option. It's not something you can decide for yourself. If you want to be in heaven, if I want to be in heaven, you must be converted. This is the teaching of the Word of God, and certainly the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word converted means to turn quite around or to reverse. And you and I know by reading of the Bible that conversion is this turning right around and coming to Jesus Christ. Turning from your sin, giving your whole heart and life to the Lord Jesus, and saying, Lord, I've given up the world, I've given up the sin, and I come to thee. I'm glad I'm converted. You're not glad tonight that you're converted. I was in a thing yesterday to do with driving, and I was sitting there, and there was men all around the table. They were doing the CPC. Some people knows about these things, and I have a bus license, trying to get it updated and so on. And you know, as I sat there, the men all round, they didn't know who I was, of course. The man doing it, I told him who I was. But you know, they were cursing and they were swearing. But I could talk and tell them later on. One of my men, and when he heard what I was doing, he said, Oh, I'm so sorry. He says, the language was bad there this morning. Well, I says, you know, I used to be the same until I got converted. I told him who I was. I want to do in my life and where I serve the Lord. You see, it's important that we are converted. And I suggest to you tonight that before us here in the passage of the Word of God is one of the greatest conversions that you'll find in the Scriptures. Because here's a man called King Manasseh, as we will see by reading the Word of God together. He's at nothing short than a wicked monster. His whole life is full of sin, and his heart is full of wickedness. And maybe some tonight says, well, there's no hope for such a man. He's down in the very depths of sin. That's where you've been wrong. That's where you've been wrong. You can't judge people. Because you'll read here, he got converted. He got saved. He turned to Jesus Christ. His sins, which were so many, was washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this man, this wicked man, became a great trophy of grace to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Now, all conversions, I have to say to you, bring glory to God and not to man. The sinner should always give glory to God for what God has done for us. We think of the Apostle Paul. He had great gifts and he had great abilities. A wonderful change in his life and in his heart had taken place. But you know what he said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10? But by the grace of God I am what I am. I give God all the glory. I said earlier on, why are you in the meeting tonight? Why am I in the pulpit tonight preaching the gospel? It's by the grace of God. Only a sinner saved by grace, you see. Hence, conversions, we see the guilt, of course, of mankind, but we also see the glory of God. There's a little verse in Ephesians 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I know we're saved. God saved us because to take us away from hell, everlasting punishment. But that is not the chief reason. God saved us that he might be glorified, that Christ might be glorified. And we give God all the glory for our salvation. The glory of God is found in the conversion of Manasseh. And I want to show you different ways of how God is glorified in the conversion of this man. And first of all, I see that God's patience was glorified. You know, one of the attributes of God is his patience. Now, he displays great patience and long-suffering towards mankind. Now, I'll give you a verse. In Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy." And we find here that God is long-suffering. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. Now, you cannot fail to see the patience of God displayed towards this man, Manasseh, as he lived in sin. Because we find here, as I show you in a moment, this man was a very, very wicked sinner. God could have cut him off in one moment. But God was patient. God was patient towards him. I show you some things about his life. The summary of his life is found there in verse 2. Now notice what it says about this man. Verse 1 tells us he was only 12 years old. He reigned for 55 years. But notice the summary of his life in verse 2. "But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." At the end of verse 6, "He wrought much evil in the sight of our Lord." Now here is how God described his life. The Bible said he did much evil in the sight of the Lord. His life, his heart, was full of wickedness and full of great sin. Now you can see something about his sin here that brought before us in the verses that we have read together here tonight. You think about the sin of idolatry. In verse 3, "For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them." And he built altars in the house of our Lord. Go down that passage. And you'll see that here's a man whose hands, his heart, is full of idolatry. His rebellion is found here in his heart because he had a godly father. Hezekiah was a great man of God who saw a revival come to the land, but never touched his son at this point. Here's a fella who turned his back on the God of his fathers. Here's a man who reared up these groves and these altars. He rebelled against his father. He rebelled against God. God had said very, very plainly in the commandments, "Thou shalt not make unto any graven image." That's one thing God's against. He's against idolatry. He forbid the people to build altars and to fall down and worship. "Thou shalt not bow down to them. Thou shalt not serve them." But here's what this man did. He built his altars. Do you know where he built them? You can see here in this passage that he built them in the house of the Lord. Verse 5. It tells you he built the altars of all the hosts of heaven and the two courts of the house of the Lord. Verse 4, also he built altars in the house of the Lord. In verse 7, "And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made." Where did he do it? In the house of God. And so here in the temple, here's a man. He got these altars, these images, and he built them right in the house of God. Can you imagine? Just picture this tonight. If somebody did it here to this congregation or more. We come into church tonight and there's a big altar here up in the corner, a big idol. There's one in the hallway, one in the porch. Somebody's brought them all in. We would be disgusted. We would say, who would do such wickedness? To bring idolatry into God's house. But here's a man, he didn't care about his father's teaching. He didn't care about the Bible. He didn't care about God. He says, I will bring these idols. I will build these altars. I will worship other gods. And that's what he did. His heart, his life is full of idolatry. But listen, admire the long-suffering and patience of God towards him. God saw him. Hey, the Lord God of heaven saw him come into his house. He saw him build these altars right before his presence. But God was patient. And God was long-suffering towards him, even though he did this. As I said, God could have squashed him like a fly in a moment. But oh, the patience of God towards him. It's found here. Think about his idolatry. Think about his iniquity. Now, we haven't time to look closely. But here's a man. It tells us that he worshipped even wizards in verse 6. He used enchantments and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. Devil worship. Instead of worshipping the God of the Bible, the God of his fathers. Here's a man. He's dabbling in seducing spirits and demonic spirits. But he doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about God's word. No, here's a man, he's dabbling in devil worship. And notice, God is still patient towards him. God's holding back his hand. God is long-suffering towards him. Even though over there in Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 to 13, you can read that yourself, it forbids such things. But this man ignored the commandments of the Lord. He consulted with familiar satanic spirit. He was a devil worshiper. And yet God is still patient. See, in verse 6, he caused his children to pass through the fire. This was to Moloch. Imagine having your child. And say, well, and there's children in the meeting tonight. It's great to see children in meetings. But imagine you putting your child through the fire to a false god. And remember, God's all-seeing eye. God could see all of these things in the heart and in the life of this man. He took his little child. He says, you're going through the fire. I'm offering you to this false god, Molech. And God watched the little child go through the fire as well. God could have smote him. But God is still patient. He's still patient. He hasn't killed him. He hasn't dealt with him at this particular time. He's still watching him. He committed murder in 2 Kings 21, verse 16. Moreover, here's what the word of God says about this man's evil and sin in his life. He shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. And the Bible tells us here that the very streets of Jerusalem, they were flowing in blood. He was out. He was putting people to death. Some people reckon that it was him who caused Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, to be sawed asunder. But I want you to notice here, God is still patient. God is still patient. His long-suffering is still extended to him. In verse 9, it tells us that he made... So Manasseh made Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. He had an evil influence on other people. He was really saying to the people all around him, follow me. Let's worship idolatry. Let's deal with familiar spirits. Don't worry about the Bible. Don't worry about Jesus Christ. Follow me. He caused them all to do evil. And notice here, God is still patient. God's watching them. The God of heaven, the God of the Bible, listening to all of his blasphemy and his words. Seeing all his evil actions. And yet God is still patient. He could have cut him off in one moment, as I said to you. Now, the same patience that God displayed towards Manasseh is displayed today. There are people, I would say to you, and you would probably agree with me tonight, if you and I had the power of God, over the years, there have been people in hell long ago. We would have dealt with people ourselves. We had the power. Some great wickedness is taking place all over the world today that fills our hearts with rage. But you know, God sees it all. You see, God is patient towards us. Now, I want you to think of this tonight. On saith in this meeting, he's been patient towards you. He showed patience towards Manasseh. I said to you in the conversion, his patience was glorified. How long has God watched you sin? How long has God watched you go out of this church and you listen to the gospel and you hear about Jesus Christ and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved and still you go on without the Lord Jesus Christ? How long has the Lord watched you run to the world, run to sin, swear and curse and all the other sins that's in your heart and in your life? How many years has the Lord been watching you? And yet tonight you're still here. I'm glad of that. I'm glad that God is long-suffering towards us. He's a God of great patience, you see. Now, it will not always be the case. I had to warn you tonight on that. It will always be the case. But I'm saying, up to date, up to this very night, God has been patient with you. He could have cut you off in one moment. But he's watching you. And he's long-suffering towards you. Even though you sin against him. Even though you keep on rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You see, God's patience was glorified in this man's conversion. I'm glad I have a patience. I would have been cut off long ago. I would not have been standing here tonight preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ if the Lord had dealt with me the way that I deserve to be dealt with. And now would you be in the pew tonight? It says, sir, in one of the verses, Psalm 130, verse 3, if thy Lord should have marked iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Well, Manasseh certainly could not stand, and I couldn't stand. Now could you? I said, on saved tonight. Listen, God is patient towards you. And to God's people, he was patient towards you and I. He was long-suffering towards us. We rejected the gospel. We ran after the world, and we ran after sin. And so, God's patience, I said to you, was glorified here in the conversion of this man. And God's wisdom was glorified also in his conversion. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, by unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. And here's what it says about the Lord. The only wise God. God is full of wisdom. You think at this moment, the situation that Manasseh was in. He was in a pit of iniquity. He was held fast by the devil. There was no man who could devise a plan in order to reach him. There's no man had the wisdom in order how this man could be saved. How he could be delivered from his sin and certain destruction. I said to you, none but God. None but God. God had a plan. It was a plan that was full of wisdom. How God was going to reach him. And you see, we've read together in this passage how God's wisdom, how God in wisdom reached him. Because he sent the prophets to them in verse 10. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. 2 Kings 21 verse 10 says, and the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets. He sent the prophets. Now, according to the Jewish writers, there were Joel, Nahum, and Habakkuk. And what happened here in this man's life? God said to his prophets, bring the word to them. Go and preach to Manasseh. Go and preach to the people. Go and tell them about their sin. Tell them to repent. Go and preach to them. And so we see this, all these prophets going and preaching to Manasseh. And of course, can I say to the nation as well? But listen, they would not hearken. They wouldn't listen. God sent them. God's wisdom. He sent the prophets with the pages of scripture, with the word of God to them, but they wouldn't listen. He said, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now that this has all failed? Well, God had a plan, you see. This is the wisdom of God, how he's going to reach this man. And so God, who sent the prophets, he sent the soldiers. And you can see that in verse 11. The king of Syria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. We see the king and all his men coming into the kingdom here of Israel, and they get a hold of this man Manasseh, a man of power, a man who has possessions, and they get a hold of Manasseh and they grip him and they put him in the chains and they bring him down to Babylon. I tell you, that's a big change. A man who's upon the throne. A man who seems to have everything at the click of his fingers. He's in a prison cell. He's in a prison cell. Perhaps he's alone. He's in darkness. He's cold. He's hunger. His heart is full of fear. There's something happening in the life and in the heart of Manasseh. See, God's given a wake-up call. God's bringing this king, this evil king, to his knees. And I say to you this, it's only God can do it. It's only God can do this. Because everything is salvation is of God. And you find here about his pain, they said in verse 12, and when he was in affliction, the word affliction means distress. In Psalm 31 verse 9, the psalmist said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. That's the same word in the Hebrew for affliction. Here's a man, listen, he's in trouble. God brings him right down to the place where he's in great trouble. Lord, in his wisdom, he's really turning the screw on him. Turning the screw in this man's life. He's bringing him to that place. He's beginning to feel the pain of his sin, of his life, of his rebellion against the God of the Bible, you see. And God is dealing with him. He thought he could do whatever he liked with God of the Bible. He thought he could reject Jesus Christ. He said, I can build up these eggs. I can even do it in the very house of the Lord. That's what I'll do it if I want. But he's now finding out he can't. And now he's on his knees. Listen to me tonight. He's praying. Manasseh, the wicked king, is praying unto God of the Bible. And when he was in affliction, verse 12, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication. Here's this evil king, and he's crying unto God. Listen, God heard him. God heard him. God's ears open on to that, the cry of the repentant sinner. And Manasseh, despite all his sin, he cries to God. And God heard him. I say to you tonight, this is God's plan for him. This is God bringing this man to this position where he will forsake his sin, that he will get on his knees, he will look to Jesus Christ, he will cry for mercy. It's God in his wisdom. God knew how to break him. God, the Lord God of heaven knew how to get him on his knees, that he would look to him. And only God could plan it all, you see. Oh, the wisdom of God in the matter of salvation. The Lord alone knows how to bring us into this place. Now, I went to that place. Maybe a different route you went. But God knew how to bring me to it and bring you to that place that you repented from your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God could draw up the plan of salvation. We sing that great hymn, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God to span at Calvary. Who else could save sinners? Who else could think up the plan how to save our souls? How God, who is just and God, who is holy, how he could ever punish sin and yet save sinners. How could God do it? Only God could plan this. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to bleed and to die and to suffer for our death, for our sins upon the cross. That's why the Bible says in Romans 3 verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God sent his Son into the world to die for us, that we might be saved in his wisdom. Sometimes I say to you, God may send the soldiers persecution. He may send trouble into your life. Maybe there's someone tonight and they're speaking, unsaved. I'm speaking to your heart tonight. Maybe secretly in your heart tonight they're troubled. They're troubled about your sin. You're troubled about your soul tonight. You're afraid of falling down into the very caverns of the damned tonight. Has God been dealing with you? How often we sing that hymn, Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. tell you, there was a time in my life I was not troubled about my sin. I was not troubled about my soul. I was not troubled about the Bible. I was not troubled about heaven or hell or anything. Till God dealt with me. Till God dealt with me in his wisdom. Has the Lord been dealing with you tonight on Saturday and this meeting? Bringing you to that place that you feel the pain, the conviction of your sin. Do you know you're lost tonight without a Savior? Do you, are you an honest man or woman or boy and girl in this meeting tonight and say, Noel, if I die as I am, I'm lost. That's sad, of course, that would be the case. Well, at least you're honest tonight. At least you know that. You die in your sins, you're lost in hell. Has the Lord been dealing with your heart tonight? Dealing with you to bring you to the place of Manasseh. Of Manasseh. God deals in wisdom. God plans out the path of our salvation. He puts people before us. Maybe somebody at work has been witnessing to you. Maybe a friend. Maybe a family member. Maybe a sermon you heard. God is working. God working out salvation in the very midst of the earth. God been dealing with you. I said to you tonight, in the conversion of this man, we see the wisdom of God. God reached him. Nobody else could reach him. Nobody else could break him. Nobody else could bring him to that place where he had cried to God. So admire the wisdom of God here in his salvation. God did it all. He did it all. God's wisdom was glorified. God's mercy was also glorified. It's one of the attributes, of course, of God is he's a God of mercy. In 1 Kings, I'll read it to you, first chapter 3, verse 6. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. And God's mercy is great, you know. In Psalm 103, verse 17, But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. God's mercy, it is full, it is great, it reaches to the very heavens. It is everlasting mercy. I said to you here, the mercy of God was glorified in Manasseh's conversion. Listen, God forgive him. The Lord forgive him. All that this man did, and all that he said, the Lord forgive him. Because it says here in the verse 11 that God heard, sorry, verse 13, he heard his supplication. God heard this man. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. And not only did God hear him, God forgave him for all of his sins. Think of the vileness of his sins. Think of the vastness of his sins. Here's a wonderful truth. Every sin was forgiven. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You say to me tonight, Manasseh did not deserve mercy. He did not deserve pardon. He did not deserve the Lord to come and to wash away all his sins. Exactly. But God is merciful. His mercy was glorified. A great verse in the Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. From every sin. He was forgiven. He was washed. And I asked you the question tonight. Would you and I have forgiven him? Would you and I give him mercy? Or would you and I look to Manasseh and say, Manasseh, you're an evil man. You made the very streets of Jerusalem flow with blood. You caused the people to run after idolatry. You worshipped the devil and the host of heaven, the stars, the moon, the sun, and all of those things. You caused many to follow you in your path of wickedness and not be forgiven you. But I say to you tonight, God forgive him. God forgive him. This man was a terrible sinner, but there's a great Savior, Jesus Christ. And maybe there's some here tonight in this meeting, and you say, "Why? I'm a bad person. I have great wickedness, great sin in my heart and in my life. If people only knew the things I have said or the things that I have done, they would be horrified." We don't need to know your sin tonight, but God knows it. And I said to you, the Lord will forgive you. He forgave Manasseh. Isn't that wonderful? Encouragement for a sinner here tonight to come to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 6 verse 37, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll give you mercy. And that's why we exhort sinners to come to Christ, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Don't be trusting a church to save you. Don't be trusting yourself to get to heaven. Don't be trusting your works. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. You need his mercy. Publicly went into the temple. He wouldn't even lift his eyes on to heaven. He smote on his breast. And he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I say to you tonight, God heard him. God heard him. On the 19th of January 1985, I was in the pub the night before it, but I got my knees on Saturday morning. It was a snowy morning in Mulleglass, in the home of Reverend Alec Chambers, who was a minister of our church at that time. And I asked the Lord to save me. And he saved me. I asked the Lord to forgive me. And he forgave me all my sins. I said to you tonight, if you're not saved, he can do that for you. See, God's mercy is glorified. That he forgive any of us in this meeting. Think of everyone in this meeting. Think about the number of your sins. Think about the nature of your sins. Multitudes of sins. Just the small gathering here tonight, yet God has forgiven those who have trusted Christ. And he's taken away all our sins. So God's mercy was glorified. Manasseh cried, and God says, I'll forgive you. He didn't deserve it. Granted, I didn't deserve it. Do you deserve it? Our God is merciful. He's forgiven to those who repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can I say lastly and very quickly, God's power was glorified. You find here, as we read in this passage, here was a man who was changed. God brought him back, verse 13, to Jerusalem. He was a changed man. He built walls in verse 14 for security and separation. He disowned his idols. He took away the strange gods in verse 15. In devotion, we find here he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed. So we find there's great change taking a place here. He calls upon the people in verse 16 and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. And you see something has happened to this man. He goes home, he rips down the idols, he builds the altars, he gets the people back to the blood, and he says to them to serve the Lord God of heaven. Something's happened to this man. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. There's a change in him. Ephesians said that with all the rest of his time, he was so changed for the better that he was looked upon as a very happy man. The historian wrote that about him. And when the people listened to Manasseh, and when they looked to Manasseh, they said, something has happened to him. He's changed. God changed him. God changed him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This happened to him. And the power of God was glorified. People would have looked, and they would have been astounded as they looked at this man. He was changed by the power of God. And there are sinners here tonight can say, oh, my life was terrible. I was down in the very depths of sin, but I'm changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord can change you tonight, sinner in this meeting. Don't fear coming to Jesus Christ. Sometimes the devil says, if you get saved, you'll never keep it. But I'm saying to you, if you come to Christ with all of your heart, the Lord will change you. And you'll go to work tomorrow morning, and you'll be a new person. And people will say, boys, what happened to you over the weekend? You mightn't look any better, by the way. Well, that doesn't matter. But I tell you what, you'll behave better. And you'll live better. And you'll talk better. And they'll see there's something that's happened. You'll say, I found the Christ. I found Christ as my Savior. God's power is glorified. We are living epistles of Jesus Christ. Those of us who are saved tonight. People can look at something that's happened to you. Something that's happened to my heart and to my life. we came as sinners to Jesus Christ. Can I say lastly, very quickly, God's love was glorified. How great's the love of God. I said to you, would you love Manasseh? Would we have loved them? Not one bit of it. We would have despised them. I'm be honest with you, I would have despised him. He's a wretched man, and the sooner he's out of this place, the better. That's what I would have said about him. But you know something? God loved them. God loved them. And God loves you. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I say unto you in the conversion of this man, to God be the glory. That shall be our testimony. Be your testimony tonight. I trust you'll come to Jesus Christ and you'll put your faith and trust in him. If I can help you or anyone else, come and speak to us. You don't know what you're missing by going on in your sin and going on in the world. Come as a sinner to Jesus Christ and he'll save you. Just like Manasseh. You'll be a changed person. You'll be transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other hope for you. Don't miss Christ, because missing him, you miss all. Don't put off coming to Christ. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come today and trust him with all your heart, and he will save you. May the Lord write his word upon all our hearts tonight. Let's all pray. I'm going to close in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us today. We pray you bless your word, your truth to the hearts of everyone. We pray that for those who's not saved, that thou will bring them down to the feet of Christ, Lord, that they might prove thee tonight. We think of Manasseh, how he cried, and you heard him, and you forgive him. And I ask you to do it tonight in the hearts of men and women, and boys and girls in this meeting. Take us our separate ways, and to our homes now in safety. Until we meet again, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.